Do you want to find solutions on how to make decisions faster, how to solve problems with your teams, or define a clear strategy that resonates with your staff and customers? There is a workshop for that. Hello there, I'm Nati Raves, founder of La Workshoppeuse. I'm a collaboration consultant and workshop facilitator, member of an amazing workshopper community. In this podcast, I meet them to get the best advice on facilitation, and I let leaders and managers speak to understand the challenges they are facing. Welcome to the show. Are you a young, qualified, motivated professional full of ambitions and good intentions, but struggling to lead a team of people? Don't worry, you're not alone. Our guest today, Mark Jaspers, knows exactly what that's like. As a former marketing manager, he learned the hard way that having all the right credentials doesn't always equate to success in leadership. But instead of giving up, Mark found a solution, facilitation. He sought the advice of renowned facilitation guru Jack Knapp and discovered the power of bringing people together to solve problems and find solutions. In this episode, Mark shares his journey to becoming a successful freelance strategist, specializing in creative concepts, and how facilitation has been a game changer in his young career. He'll also share some practical tips on where to start to become more confident as a facilitator. So sit back, relax, and get ready to learn and laugh with us as we explore the world of facilitation with Mark Jaspers. Let's go.
So it doesn't need to be like super seriously.
No. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Nati.
How are you?
I am a little nervous, to be honest, to be on my first podcast whatsoever. But it's a good nervous. It's a good nervous.
Don't worry. It will be fine. So, Mark Jaspers. Is it correct how I say
Jaspers,
it?
Yeah, Jaspers. Sounds it's like a Dutch prename, but it's my last name. So Jaspers sounds good.
How you say it in German?
It's Jaspers.
Jaspers.
Jaspers. Oh, it sounds French if you say it that way.
Yeah. No. Thank you to be my guest today. I'm very happy to have you here. You are a freelancing creative strategist and a workshop facilitator. And you help marketing teams getting ideas done right and using the experts in their company. This is what is announced on your LinkedIn. I like that. But what I like the most is your banner. Because of your LinkedIn banner, you have a nice sentence, change the way we work together. So I'm very curious to find out how you contribute to help people to find a new way to work together. And I would love to hear a little bit about your journey, about you. So tell me more. Who is Mark?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so we only have 30 minutes. So the question, who is Mark, is going to be a 24-hour marathon to answer that question, because that is something that I ask myself a lot. It's like always questioning and reflecting on who I am, what I like. So a few words, just like keywords, how you would search it online, is I'm always like fascinated by human connection. It's presentation, solving problems, empowering people, a little bit of creating a glimpse of the future, I would say. Also storytelling and trying new tools and technologies. So those were the Google keywords, just mm-hmm. to tell them. And it's like about me, like I'm 31 years. Oh, I need to correct that one. 31 years old. From Germany, currently living in Berlin. And now, as you said, a creative strategist. I was a designer, photographer, marketer, and now a workshop facilitator. That was the recentest accomplished that I did. And I also work with startups, agencies, corporates, and small, medium enterprises along the way in the field of advertising and marketing.
I see on the wall just behind you a nice certificate. I know this certificate. How did you become a workshop master?
I'm very proud of that one. That's why it's hanging here. And there are a lot of post-its on the wall as well that kind of represents how I think lately as a workshop facilitator. I think, well, getting to workshop facilitation, if I look back, it was the next step that was very obviously. But if I look back like all the way, I never thought like, okay, what was the real starting point? Because when I think about when I first noticed that people are not working together properly, was when I was in school. Is for me that maybe you cannot imagine, but I almost got dropped out of school because I was not participating in class.
No.
Yes, I was the quiet one. I was the one who is afraid that my crush, who is with me in class, would think I'm stupid. So I was more like, and very, very, very quiet. And the teacher approached me and he said like, okay, Mark, we have to do something about it. Like you now need to get a presentation done or you're not going to continue with high school. I was like, what the heck? And I pushed myself and I did that presentation in every single class I was bad in. And there were a lot of it. And I was like, this is a nice feeling. This is a really nice feeling. Just me like presenting all the stuff and having the slides and animation and graphics and videos. And everybody was like, all the friends of mine sitting in the class and also my crush. They were all like, you need to become a teacher. This is really nice. And I was like, oh, thank you. So that's when I kind of found out about, I like to show, thoughts, information in a visual way. And my, like, I didn't finish high school because then I was like, okay, I need to pursue that one. I need to like work with visuals. And I started to become a graphic design, designer as a trainee. And then I noticed again, I was in graphic design and then I was working with marketing, with a marketing department together. And for us in the graphic design department, I was always like, okay, can you make logo bigger? Can you turn this red? Can you turn this yellow? And I was like, okay, I need to change. I need to get like up the ladder. I need to go into the marketing department. And then I was like, okay, I'm done with the 3-year design trainee. And then I went up to the marketing studies. I studied marketing communication and brand planning. And then I was ready. I was ready to change the way I do advertising. I was ready to change the way I be the marketing manager I always wished for as a graphic designer back in the days. And I failed again. Because okay. I started at our family-run company. It's a 150-year-old legacy. Like my grandfather started it. And I was invited to do the marketing. And I started as a junior marketing manager in that company. And you can imagine how I wanted to change the way we advertise. I wanted to change the whole company, make it future-proof.
You wanted to prove that you learned something.
Yeah, I wanted to show the family, like, oh, you can be proud now. Here's the marketing manager you wished for.
I will change everything.
Yeah, and I tried to change everything. And I... like the little perfectionist inside of me, I went like from micromanaging everything and micromanaging the advertising agency, how to do stuff, how to make my ideas come to life. They were not able to do that one. And then I did everything by my own and I couldn't do that either. And I was like, what the heck am I doing here? I'm just like, I was a little frustrated because everything was really slow and communication within the team was really frustrating because in meetings, we're always like talking and explaining and arguing and this kind of like misalignment of like from bottom to top, like everything when you design in a design project, you design something, get it from the advertising agency. And then everybody has to tell, oh, I like it. I don't like it. Oh, I like it. I don't like it. And in the end, it's just like a feedback loop and feedback loop and feedback loop. So I was like, something needs to change here. Like I know how important it is from a standpoint of a strategist to get insights of a team, to get insights of how your client is and your customer is. But it was way too hard to gather all these information at once and then to align and decide. And because everybody wants everything, they cannot decide. I was like, how do I change it? How can I create some structure in these meetings? Because I was still a junior. I was like, no one thought mm-hmm. I could do something because I just like finished university.
Feel free to click the bell to subscribe this podcast on your player. You can also follow me on LinkedIn for more information on facilitation and workshops.
And then I found out about some kind of like meeting techniques. And then I tried to use sticky notes. And it felt really awkward, to be honest. It felt like kindergarten. It felt like me being in school again, just like writing on colorful things, and everybody's looking at me like, what the heck are you doing there? Like take a normal piece of paper like an adult. Like, what is going on here? And then I tried to write everything on flip charts and printed the designs and hang them on the wall. And then I used like voting dots so we don't talk too much. I just tried every little itty bitty that I could learn online somehow and YouTube videos and stuff. But still, it was not working. I felt uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Everybody was making me feel that it is a waste of time. And I saw the potential, but I couldn't see the way it would actually benefit the meeting, benefit the project to pursue faster. And then I was like, okay, an advertisement popped up on my phone. It's like, learn design sprint now. Google uses it. Every big company uses it. Like, it's perfect for you and your team. You get aligned. You get quick results, like from problem to idea in 7 days. I was like, I need this, please. Like, where, like, take my money, take it all. And I thought this would be like the solution to all of my problem, but it wasn't.
Was it?
It wasn't.
Okay.
Because it was okay. Like, who has 7 days in a row in a company where they don't have time at all?
Ah, yes. Okay. You did the design sprint masterclass.
I did that one before. Yeah. That was the first thing where I tried to get into facilitation, the design sprint.
Uh-huh. Just for the listeners, what is a design sprint? A design sprint is a 5 days or 4 days workshops with an innovation team, mostly working each day. There is different steps to follow until a prototype and a test of a product. And this is what is known design sprint. It's coming from the book from Jack Knapp. Yeah, you did the design sprint masterclass with Adrian Smart, I guess.
Yeah, it was Adrian Smart. I didn't know it really that time, but I had looked a few YouTube videos of Adrian Smart online as well and tried to use like bits and pieces.
It's a very big start if you start with workshops, because this is a whole process during a whole week and maybe not always adapted to what you wanted to do in this time.
Completely right. It was I thought I found the holy grail that is going to mm-hmm. solve all my problems. But it wasn't, because it was too much time that was needed, and it was way too much pressure. And it was kind of a frustration moment, because I thought that is it. And I spent some money on it as well, on the course. But I learned that it is the right path to go forward, to learn. And I was asking Jay Knapp in the online coaching calls. And I was like, okay, I don't have 7 days. Like, what do I do? And he just said, do the lightning decision jam. And I was like, the lightning, what the heck? And he's like, yeah, look it up online, YouTube, Adrian Smart, lightning decision jam, LDJ. And it's also from Adrian Smart. And I was like, okay, I looked it up, and it was, I think, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, something like that. And it goes like from problem space to focusing on a problem, and then to creating solutions and judging the solutions by outcome and impact. And I did it. I did that workshop, like the 60 minutes. I was asking for it. Like, can I have 60 minutes? It's almost like an extended meeting kind of time frame. And I used 7 people in the company. And I was drawing this like giant sailboat. And everybody looked at me like, what the heck is going on here? But it's like, okay, trust me, please trust me. We're gonna try to find the next marketing topic, because I want everybody of the company who's having a customer contact, I want to know from you what you think is holding us back, is holding the company back.
So just to explain also, the sailboat, you draw a sailboat on a whiteboard. The participants have 5 minutes to put everything which bring us further with sticky notes upon the sailboat. And then in a second step, you can write on sticky notes everything which is holding us back. And this is the sailboat exercise, the first exercise of the LDJ.
Exactly. At that time, it still felt like kindergarten, because I was drawing a freaking boat on the wall. And you can imagine people who work for 20 years in a company, they look at me like, what has he smoked? And you really need to be like super confident in what you're doing. And I really trusted the process. And in that time, I saw that so many good things happened in one place because I sticked to that recipe of that workshop. Like, with every step, I did it exactly how they told me in the YouTube video. It's like, look at what's not working, then agree on it, that it is the thing that is not working in the marketing. That was the example. Find the solutions for a quick fix. And it was like, everybody was like involved, also aligned, and there were like no discussions. And it was so freaking good, because at the same time, we could see progress. We could see every thought that people have put out there. And that was something where I still get goosebumps when I tell it. It's weird. Because I have been a graphic design trainee and I couldn't participate really in the big projects. Now, with that workshop technique, you have the ability to include everybody into the discussion without discussing. Like, if it's someone who's like 20 years in the company, they can write something down that they feel is not working in marketing. And you have someone who just joined like maybe 1 year ago the company as a trainee. He can also write down what he thinks is not working, and everybody sees it, and then they can agree on it. And that was kind of a superpower that was unlocked. And I was like, what the heck? I want more of this. I was kind of like a drug addict. I was a workshop addict. That was the feeling that I had. I want to need more and learn more.
This is how you got to the workshop in Master, yes. I guess.
There was another advertisement. It was like, hey, we have a workshop and master course coming up here. Like, you want to be the master. You want to know how workshop works. You want to structure. You want to know all the nitty gritty parts. And I was like, yes. And I joined the program and it blew my mind, because I finally understood like everything along the way. And I finished the course, I quit my job, and I became a freelancer, and now like a creative collaboration facilitator that really, like, with that tools, like helping companies and entrepreneurs to have better creative ideas within their team and use the full potential of the experts that they have in their team before they approach an advertising agency, or before a project takes way too much time. Yeah. So that's what you were reading on my LinkedIn profile, is kind of like a new way of working together. It really resonated with my vision. It's not like about how we create the future. It's about how we align and agree on what to create, because we were talking, before about the how is not the question, because there are tools out there. AI is creating so many amazing stuff. And we have no code tools. Like, we can build a website without even knowing how to code. It's so insane where this like world is leading us towards into creating stuff. But the main problem is creating is only happens when a group of people can agree on what topic we want to create things on. And that's workshopping for me. It's leading the conversation in a team and giving them like the superpower to finally work together. It's so insane when I talk about it. I always feel like an addict. You have to try it.
I can understand. I mean, I have the podcast. There's a workshop. So I'm addicted also. If you'd like to join me for a podcast episode or discuss the challenges you face at work and how I can help, book a free call or send me an email. All the contact information is in the show notes. So you quit your job, the family enterprise.
Yeah, okay. I left it all behind.
How did you get some practice? How did you become better at workshopping?
I think that is a story that often gets forgotten about. Like, I'm going to be real honest with you. It's like I was afraid and remembered at the time in school where I didn't participate because I was afraid to say the wrong things. I had the same feeling when I joined the workshop a master, because I was afraid I'm not like worth being a workshop a master, because with all these like intelligent and experienced people in the community and in the coaching calls, I never felt ready. It's like, what is going on here? Like they're way more experienced as a facilitator than I am. And then I started to go from that like surface level more down into connecting with individuals. So for example, like Audrey was one of the first persons I connected in the workshop and master community. And it made click because I was like, okay, they are humans. they're normal people like you and me.
they are not audience.
Not like superhumans of facilitating or facilitation gurus. They're normal people with a very, very good expertise that they have. And then I just trained some workshop techniques that I learned from the course. For example, with Audrey, and it felt so good and made me feel like so confident because I saw it was working. I'm able to create workshops on my own and to hold workshops.
So you had sparring partners. You found sparring partners in the community so that you can practice with someone. This is a good idea, actually. Even if it's not in this community, but to have someone to practice and try things, I think this is not bad.
And I think like this gaining confidence, not by showing off. I have a badge, I have a certificate, like I can make some fancy pictures where I look like I'm doing the greatest workshop of all time. But deep inside, you're like, I'm not able to do it. I'm not able to do it. I'm not able to do it. But the one time you experience it and you get feedback after workshop, it's so rewarding. It's feels like a high. If we talk about workshopping as a drug, feels like a high afterwards. And it made click somehow. And from that point on, I like participated in coaching calls. I asked questions. I posted into the community about my progress. I showed myself on camera. I recorded Loom videos and I got so freaking good advice. They helped me through all my own questions that I had and gave me a lot of insight. So bring it to a point. I would say like my advice would be try what you have learned with like friends, family, and maybe a sparring partner, and also attend workshops or online workshops to see other facilitators in action to learn by doing, and to also get a feeling of how does it feel to participate in a workshop? How does it feel if someone sets like expectation management and tells you how you're going to experience, and you're like, oh damn, yeah, that's exactly how I feel right now.
You can make also some co-facilitation. Sometimes when you have the possibility to make some co-facilitation, then you are not the person in the front. You can design with the facilitator the whole workshop, like a sparring partnering. Then you are the co-facilitator, the person in the background who is taking care of the timer, the facilitation in smaller group and things like that. And I think this is a good way also to learn by doing, but not being alone if you are too afraid to start something by yourself.
That's a good advice that you could put on it, like find a safe environment. And if it is co-facilitating, or if it is doing workshopping and using workshopping skills with friends who are having or building up their own companies. Like I helped two friends of mine who are building their own company. And I just use these techniques to also like try and find, okay, is a big workshop good? Is a small workshop good? Like, how do I adapt on certain situations? And it is always like experience make you always get better and better.
And speaking of advice, if you would speak now to your youngest self, what would you say?
The one and most important thing, beside of that, like gaining experience and feeling confident in practicing that skill, is if you explain facilitation in workshops, always be concrete, like make an example. Because for me, it was people thought that, oh, you're now a workshopper. It's like, what is that? Like, people need to have a feeling of, what do you do? Like, I help creatives to have fewer feedback loops in projects and have better connections with their team, and use the people inside the team. And then I can make an example in explaining that one. That helped me a lot, so people could actually understand. But if you have the time, make them experience what a workshop is, and they're going to be addicted to workshopping. It's always working that way. And the second thing that I noticed is workshop facilitation is a tool and not a product. It's not like I do workshop facilitation. It's like, what do you solve with that tool? Why do people need workshop facilitation? And if you can point towards a problem, it's much easier for people to know that they need you, that they need workshop facilitation or meeting facilitation, teamwork, collaboration, facilitation. I think that is something very, important. What I experienced for myself.
Nice. Thank you for all these input, Mark, and I'm sure you're going to do your way. We spoke about a few ideas together, how you can use your known knowledge and combine it with your past knowledge about marketing. You will be welcome in the podcast again in 1 year when you have all your service and products out and we can talk about it again.
Yeah, I think it's always about developing each step by step and looking back, learning new techniques, new things along the way, and using technology also to help you to get on speed and get on track as well. It feels a little bit like therapy here right now with you. It's always like, okay, where have you started? And it feels really good to look back at what you have accomplished, and also to see the urge to become a workshop facilitator, that it was like somehow like deep down in my life is like always like connected, to give people a voice to participate, because I never had one on my own, and also like to be curious and to connect people and discover insights of people, then turn them into something that it has a power to be executed. And then also to feel like safe when exchanging with people, just create the future together by collaborating and not all by your own, by just managing top down, what you want to see happen.
But at the end, this is a better way to work together.
I love that one. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mark. I wish you success on your way. And I know that we will stay in touch together. But thank you to have been my guest.
Thank you very much for having me in that little therapy session where I was talking about the workshop addiction with Natty. Thanks. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Mark about his journey to becoming a successful facilitator. And if you are a marketing team or an entrepreneur in need of marketing strategy and concept, don't hesitate to contact him. And if you want to learn more about Mark and his work, be sure to check out his newsletter on Substack called Better Creative Business. You'll find all the links in the show notes. In the next episode, I'll be speaking with Alexandru Popa, Associate Director specializing in blockchain for the pharmaceutical supply chain at MSD Prague. We'll explore the connection between MSD and blockchain technology and discuss the benefits of using design thinking when implementing a new technology without existing framework or user cases. Alexandru will also share his insights on the value of hiring an external facilitator to guide his teams through the process and leverage their expertise. So be sure to tune in for our next episode. And until then, I wish you good health, success, and happiness. Au revoir.